Hello, hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again for more fun and adventures. And you know our devotion, our commitment, is to bring ways to make your lives better. And I pray daily, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun in inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. And with that in mind, we have an amazing, amazing guest today because, you know, so many of you out there have something important to share. An idea, a concept, a product, something developing, and the world needs to know about this. Well, today is your day, because Dan Hollings, who's called Mr. Universe of the Internet Marketing Group, he will share tips that help bring $48 million to one of his clients who started with a small idea and not a lot of money. And Dan is an internet marketing consultant and a web strategist to celebrities, talk show hosts, New York Times best-selling authors, and dozens of successful companies, entrepreneurs, and hit movies. And one of his most amazing internet marketing campaigns was for this movie that you may have heard of called The Secret that was not released into theaters but through internet marketing. And that's the movie that made over $48 million through his secrets, through his tips on getting it out there and reaching large numbers of people. And so Dan, as an authority on these internet technologies and system development, and there's internet strategies, internet marketing, well, he's also well-versed in the emerging mobile marketing medium and the interconnections between online and offline marketing. And Dan is an author, a speaker, a trainer, and has developed web-based systems, marketing campaigns, and training courses used by numerous companies, distributor organizations, publishers, and universities around the world. So we are privileged to welcome and to get wisdom from our dear friend, Dan Hollings. Dan, welcome.
Thank you, Ken.
What a joy. Now, this name, I love it, Mr. Universe of Internet Marketing.
Yeah, there's actually a little bit of a story behind that, and it's certainly tongue-in-cheek, but on many, many occasions when people were interviewed, actually the makers of the movie, about how the movie became, marketed on the Internet and what have you, often the answer was, well, it was the universe. And I'm not taking anything away from the part that the universe played in it, but I figured, well, I'll call myself Mr. Universe because I certainly had a role in this.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. You know, to give that something solid, I mean, yes, we want to acknowledge that everything starts as energy and spirit, and that's the underpinnings of it. And yet there's a story of a farmer that did a wonderful job, took over an area that was kind of decimated, and then a minister came out and was everywhere he looked, crops flourishing and things were beautiful, and he kept saying, "Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God," and finally, after a while, the farmer said, "Well, I certainly am grateful to God myself, Pastor, but I think you should have seen this place when God had it on his own."
I have to remember that one.
There you go. So you had just done an acute. Now, with what you're doing, I mean, you and the success, you know a lot about internet marketing that we'd call secrets. Would it be correct to assume that you have a marketing or computer background?
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing, and actually the answer will give a lot of people hope as well, because I don't have a computer background. I've never taken a single computer course. I happen to be an Apple Mac computer user. But I really just use my computer pretty much like everyone else, and when the Internet first, came to us, you know, many years ago, I just, picked up a few computer books and read a little bit, but never took any courses, and I did teach myself to program and how to design and what have you. And the funny thing is that I don't even know how to type. I'm a one-finger typer. I mean, not even two fingers.
It's wow. Specialist. Now, do you change fingers or do you just use one exclusively?
No, there's just one.
Okay.
I've got nine in waiting. And, I it's not that I'm not coordinated. I actually, my background and degree is in music, classical guitar, and I taught at the University of Illinois for many, many years. So I'm coordinated, but it's just I never learned to type. So no computer, background, and then also no marketing background. I have yet to take a single marketing course in anything. A lot of what I learn is learned through reading and also by observing what's going on in the Internet and also just by thinking about it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Now, I'm just wondering, since you've been able to do this, we want to learn a little bit more about some of the things that you're doing. The secret has become widely known after it got the attention of people like Larry King and Oprah Winfrey and Ellen DeGeneres and Montel Williams, a lot of big name, magazines and newspapers. But it all started on the Internet many months in advance and with great success. Can you share with us a little about the evolution of the marketing and how it all got started?
Sure. I had been doing a lot of marketing and helping companies and organizations in the network marketing space, companies like Amway, Quickstar, and the Avons and the Mary Kays of the world. And a friend of mine shared with me that a movie maker was looking for, quote, an Internet wizard to help them with marketing on a movie they had made. And in fact, they weren't even calling it a movie in the beginning. It was going to be a television program. And I largely became interested because I had been doing so much work in the network marketing space that I thought doing something different, with television or a movie would be exciting. And so I that was one of the things that just crossed my mind. But the big risk was the fact that I would have to let many of my clients go in order to take on this new project. And the secret, as you mentioned earlier, didn't have a lot of money to spend on the marketing side of things. So there was a bit of a risk. And my thought was, well, I can come in and do a lot of different things for them because I'm pretty good in most marketing strategies, in particular internet marketing strategies, whether it's Web 2.0 stuff or blogs or pay-per-click or SEO, which is search engine optimization. There's all these different kinds of marketing that you can do. And I figured that I could do, many of those things, and we wouldn't have to go out and hire individuals to do it. But But, you know, I was recommended to them. They took a look at some of the things that, that I might do. And lo and behold, I came on board. Well, the surprise was that a few months later, I found out that they were not going to be on TV. And all of a sudden, it became internet or bust. Everything really boiled down to the internet. They were not going to be on TV. It wasn't going to be in the theaters. There was virtually no money for marketing, and so I just snapped to it and started doing all of the things that I knew how to do. A lot of the things that I did, you probably wouldn't even think were marketing. For example, I had to set up customer support. I had to bring in the fulfillment company and design the shopping cart. I had to, you know, take care of a lot of the, you know, vendor relations and working, you know, with the teachers, with getting their products on the site and doing things like that. But in reality, all of those things really have to do with marketing, because I believe that a happy customer is your best bet at having good, positive word of mouth. And word of mouth is the best marketing that you can get. So if your customer support is good and your people are happy with the experience that they have at your website, then they'll tell people, and that's the best marketing that you get, and we had a lot of that with The Secret.
Ah, wow. Now, I am just wondering, well, there may be some people out there that would like to ask a question or two, so let's open up the phone lines. For people in the U.S., they could call in toll-free 877-876-5227. Or for our friends up in Canada, 888-815-9756, or outside of those two areas, 530-876-3222. And Dan, let's see, is there a place, because I'm understanding you're offering to give away to our listeners some wonderful tips.
Well, actually, what I did before The Secret was mostly in helping small businesses and entrepreneurs to better their presence and their marketing online. And now that I'm done with The Secret and moving on into new things, I've really circled back and I'm beginning to work again with projects that have to do with a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs. And a lot of people think that, well, geez, you know, maybe the stuff that you did with The Secret, you know, works great if you're selling a movie or something like that, but I'm doing this little business or something, and whatever it is, I'm not sure if the strategies that you use with The Secret would work for my product or service or whatever it is I'm wanting to share with the world. And the reality is that, yes, a lot of them would. So what I did is I asked myself this question. I said, you know, if I were to be selling something, even if I had a local business, you know, right in your neighborhood, what would be the 10 things that would be the top best strategies that I would recommend? And I just wrote those all down into a report. It's very succinct, gets right to the meat of things, and it's 25 pages, and I call it the top 10 internet marketing strategies. And anyone that's interested in getting that, it's available at danhollings.com/secrets. And by the way, my name is danhollings.com/secrets. And that's secrets with an S. So you can go there and you can download the report and you can start at the beginning and just go straight through it, or you can kind of jump around. You don't have to do it in order. But each secret that I reveal is just one or two pages, and it'll tell you exactly what to do to improve your results online.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm wondering, Dan, to tantalize us a little further, because it's a great offer. I mean, you've done amazingly well with so many big companies and then this movie on a small budget. Of those secrets that you're sharing, can you give us a taste of one or two of those that you would consider the most important?
Sure. Gosh, I can pick almost any one of them because they're all important. But, you know, a lot of people ask me this. They'll say, let's take it to the very beginning. A lot of people don't even have a website. And some people will say, you know, I've got an idea for a product, or maybe I have a product or service or an idea that I'd like to share for the world. And should I go and set up a website? And here's the surprising answer. If you don't have a website already up, I wouldn't even start with a website. I would start with a blog. And the reason is because a blog is, first of all, free. You can go to a place like blogger.com or wordpress.com, which are two excellent blogging systems. And within 10 or 15 minutes, just by typing in a few things and clicking a few buttons, you can have a very, very nice blog up and running, totally free. You don't need any programmers. You can administrate a blog from a little back-end dashboard area, an admin area, very easily. You know, children have blogs, and they've been able to set them up without a problem.
Wow.
And so you can go in and you can set it up and maintain it without programmers, without cost. But the biggest magic that you have with a blog is that every time you make a post, it will talk to the blogosphere, which means it will ping, and that's P-I-N-G, it will ping out to the rest of the internet, and it will say, hey, I just posted something on my blog, come and take a look, and then go and let the world know. So it has a way of communicating with the various search engines and out into the blogosphere so that your marketing is built in. So it would be best, if you don't have a website, to just go ahead and start with a blog. And the key in having your blog be popular with the search engines is mostly that you blog regularly. Doesn't matter if you do it every day or every week. You don't you don't want to blog once a year, but you do want to blog regularly. I would recommend that you blog really frequently when you first set it up for the first few weeks, and then figure out a schedule so that you can post, you know, maybe weekly or something like that. And if you want to know why that works, it's because search engines like Google and Yahoo and the Technorati, which is a blog search engine, they like to have fresh, new, exciting content. And they look at a blog as a site where people put new and fresh stuff on a regular basis. So they'll come over and they will look at your content, spider it is what they call it, and they will post it out on their search results very readily. Where in comparison, a website, you know how it is. Often you work on your website for a couple of weeks, you put it up, and then the darn thing stays exactly like it is for a year, and then people don't touch them or change them. And so the search engines say, well, that's kind of stagnant, not too exciting. So that's the reason.
Ah, wow. Okay. And then this blogging, I mean, does a person need any kind of qualifications or to do it, or
well,
is it just whatever you got to share, you put it out there?
Pretty much that's it. I think what's nice about a blog is you don't have to pretend to be anything other than who you are or what you are. It's more like you're sitting down and talking to a person, but you're just doing it in text, you know, over the internet. And blogs don't have to be just text. I'm sure there was a few people that were kind of going, text? They can be audio and they can be videos and all of that as well. But in the beginning, it's easy to start by just posting a couple of paragraphs and talking about either your project or your product or your service or the organization that you're trying to promote. Whatever it is, you just talk about it open and honestly. And quite honestly, if you're a little controversial, sometimes the marketing can, or interest can be, you know, even more exciting. So that's what's really, really good about it. And you don't have to have technical skill. You know, again, one finger is all you need. And if you've got 10, then you're 9 times better than me.
Amazing. Okay, so that's one of the key things, and that's wonderful because basically, you don't have to get a small business loan. You don't have to hit up the relatives. You don't have to you know, put the kids to work in the neighborhood mowing lawns. You just get on the internet and bingo, you're there.
Absolutely. In fact, if you do mow lawns, it'd be a great place to set up a blog all about how you mow your lawns, and you'll probably drum up some business.
Ah, okay. Well, this is to me, this is great. What else would you share as another one of those neat tips with us, Dan?
Another thing that people talk about a lot, and I find that many people don't even know what it means, is Web 2.0. And actually, Web 2.0 is it's many things, but it's something very special for anyone who's trying to promote or market something. The funny story is that Web 2.0 was I'm going to define it in just a moment, so, but it was just beginning to start back when I began working on the Secret Project, which was in 2005. And I was already doing, several of these Web 2.0 things. But the funny part really happened after I left The Secret. Someone commented to me one day. They said, Dan, that we were really impressed that you were doing all of this Web 2.0 stuff way back in 2005 and early 2006. That was really, really impressive. And I'm thinking, what are they talking about? I didn't even know what Web 2.0 was.
Wow, okay.
I go to Wikipedia and look it up, and I'm going, oh, yeah, I was doing that, but I just didn't know that that's what they called it. What had happened is that I was so immersed in the Secret Project. I programmed the website myself and was doing the marketing and helping with all the other stuff that needed to be done, and I wasn't keeping up with everything that was going on, on the web, and all of this Web 2.0 stuff was going on in the background, and they had named it, and I just didn't catch that. But here's what it is. For marketing, what it means is this. Basically, a website or website owner allows the visitor to contribute content to their site. The content could be text, it could be video, it could be audio, it could be images. But whenever a website says, hey, Mr. Visitor, do you have something really interesting, like a picture or a video or some content that you'd like to put on my site? That is a Web 2.0 thing. So when you go to Amazon.com and you write a review on perhaps a book that you've read there, you've done a Web 2.0 thing. You have given Amazon some content. Now, why is that good for marketing? Well, think about it. Amazon could hire 1 million people to read books and write reviews, and that would cost a fortune, and most people probably would think that the reviews were kind of paid for and they wouldn't believe them. Or they could just say, hey, world, read our books, and if you like them or if you don't like them, write a review and put it on the site. And the reality is that more people buy books at Amazon because they've read a review than any other reason that there is. So Amazon, by doing this Web 2.0 marketing strategy, handing the pen over to their visitor and saying, write a review, actually creates some of the best content and the best marketing that they could possibly do. So if you flip that around and think about it, here's what you can do to promote your product or service or project that you're working on. You can go out on the web and look for sites that will let you add content. You can go to a place like Squidoo, and that's the word squid with O-O at the end, Squidoo. You could go to a place like HubPages. There are places that you can go where they say, hey, just give me your name and email address, set up a little account, doesn't cost any money, and you could write an entire page all about something that you're really into. This page, for example, at Squidoo or HubPages can have images and video and text and audio and can have all kinds of things, and it's very easy to do. It's actually even easier than a blog, and it's generally just a single page that you're setting up. But here's the great advantage. When you post these pages on other sites, you can link back to other things, maybe your blog that you're doing or a web page or a landing page that you've set up or a newsletter that you're wanting people to subscribe to. You can link to that from these various sites where you've added content. So if you set about a plan where maybe once every week or once a month, you were to go on the web and look for a site that would allow you to add content, over time, you could have many, many sites linking back to yours. And then some magic starts to happen because of this. Google will move your website or your blog up in the search ranks based on many factors, of which one, and probably the most important one, is who all is linking to you. So if you set up a page at Squidoo and you link to you, and you set up a page at HubPages and you link to you, and you set up many other places where you link back to yourself, and if, in effect, a lot of links would be coming into your site, and many of those links will increase the perception that Google has about your site, because they're thinking, wow, must be an important site. Many other pages on the web are linking to you. So that's a way that a marketer can use Web 2.0 by adding content to other sites, linking back to your sites in order to move up the search ranks. And then what happens too, it just gets better and better as you think about it. Sometimes when people are doing searches on Google or Yahoo, they'll stumble upon not only your primary site or your primary blog, but they'll stumble upon some of the pages that you've set up. So it's a good way for you, no matter what you're into, to put out, into the, internet or out to the internet, good content about what it is that you're involved in. So that's Web 2.0.
Wow. Who knew? And just talk it up or type it up, and off you go into basically major communication and linking. And this is all, like, once again, how much have we invested? The small business loans? No.
We're up to zero.
Yeah.
It requires just a little time. Obviously, if it's something that you're very much into, it's pretty easy to write about it. And also just locating the places that where you can post this content. If you're curious about the places, you can go to Google, just type in Web 2.0, and you'll find many resources that will point you to a variety of different sites that will do that. Some of the rules to keep in mind are always follow the rules, regulations, and policies of whatever the site is. If you go to a place, a really cool one I like is called Zwicky. That's, I think it's S-W-I-K-I. And what that one allows you to do is to create your own personal search engine, where if someone comes to your Zwicky and does a search, you're controlling what the results will be. So you may have a certain niche that you're into, and people want to search and find all kinds of related things about that particular niche. And by you setting up a Zwicky, you can kind of customize the results so that you're presenting to the searchers lots of things that are that you're all in support of, and it's all around a single topic. And you want to make sure if you set up a Zwicky or any other thing that you set up that you just follow their rules. Make sure that you're not posting links to improper sites or doing stuff like that. That's the really, really key thing. The other thing to be careful of when you do this strategy, and this is something, please make a note of this, is that you don't want to use the same content over and over and over again, because many of the search engines don't like duplicate content. In fact, they will punish your site, so to speak. They'll move it down in the rankings or even remove it from the search results altogether if they see that you've taken, for example, one article that you wrote and you posted on 1,000 different sites. They don't like that. And for obvious reasons, because when someone comes to Google and does a search, they don't want to present to that searcher a page of results where every single result is really going to the same article. So duplicate content can cause a lot of trouble. So what you have to do is just make sure that you're putting a variety of different types of content in an article. You can be talking about the same thing, but don't just copy-paste the same thing over and over and over again.
Ah, wow. That's huge. There's just so many little things that make a big difference in these rankings.
Absolutely. And that's really where most people that come online go to, find things. The good news is this: if anybody that's listening in happens to have a local business, let's say you have a little retail bookstore, or you make pizza, or a tea shop, or maybe whatever, it's something local and you're in an area, your ability to get in the local search results is significantly easier. You see, Google has two different types of search results pages that they present. One is their universal results, which is for products and services that are sold, you know, to anyone, you know, throughout the world. But if someone's doing a search for a local business, then Google presents what they call their local search results. Now, the way they know to give the searcher the local results is by looking to see if the person searching added anything like, you know, maybe the city or the state or a zip code or a county or something like that. And if that's been added, then Google will give local results. Well, the real win here is that if you have a local business, you can get in local results really, really easy. And it's funny why. The reason why is because the competition is so bad at this. That's why. In the universal results, everybody's competing for certain keywords so that they can be listed on, you know, when people do searches. But on local searches, most local businesses do very little to optimize their sites in ways so that they'll show up really well. And I've already told you the secret to this. If you merely set up a website, maybe you already have one, or if you set up a blog, maybe you already have one, and you post some content at various different Web 2.0 type sites, and you link back to your pages, that alone will generally give you enough of what some people call it link love, that you will begin to move up the ranks very rapidly in the local search. So that's good news if you're a local business. I have had many, I'm talking thousands of companies that I've helped get on the first page of search results under really good search terms, literally within a week or so. So that's a really good tip. Don't worry about taking notes, folks. The report that I put together for Ken and all of you details all of this in great detail. So again, that's danhollings.com/secrets, and you can just go through that and it'll show you all that stuff.
Wow. And I'm wondering, too, I'm just thinking of children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many problems, inner city this, drugs, people dropping out of school, families, you know, in different levels of challenge with kids. And I'm just kind of wondering, if we stumbled onto to some way of giving kids something to do that is good for them and can help the family business as well.
You know, that's a good point. It's funny that sometimes the younger generation actually seems to pick up on this stuff even faster. I think a lot of times as we get older, we convince ourselves we can't do this. But you know, I'm no young chicken, and I'm you know, I seem to pick it up pretty good. But I think you have a good point, and if you do have a business, if you have kids, I would certainly you know point out a few things perhaps from the report that I have, and they could very easily do that. Or you know, post a note at the local library or schools or some of the civic centers or things where children are or kids are. And they just pick up on this stuff readily, and you can get you know, very good results you know, doing that. So I think that's a wonderful idea.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's you know, I've got a neighbor that is going to get a computer. The church donated to her, and she babysits for. She's got grandkids and great grandkids that come over, and I'm just thinking, wow, is this a way for them to express and to not have it just limited to, does the family like what I'm sharing?
Absolutely. You know, and you mentioned earlier, you said, you know, like mowing grass, and you started thinking about the various things that young people can do in order to make a little extra, you know, money, you know, in their lives. And there's nothing that I'm talking about here that they couldn't do if they just knew it. No kidding, within the 25 pages of the information that I'm just giving away from free, anyone that would read that could offer those services and be paid handsomely. You know what I believe? I believe that most businesses just, they don't have the time or the know-how in order to do that. And if someone came in and said, hey, you know, I can get you on the first page of Google, you know, and they pay handsomely for that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Wow. This is excellent. Now, there's some other aspects. I'm looking on your site here at www.danhollings.com, danhollings.com, and you'd made mention of this background at the University of Illinois as a music teacher, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, there's this stuff of music by Dan Hollings on your site.
Yes, indeed. I spent much of my life growing up to think that I would be a professional musician. And when I was real young, I played in a rock band and all of that. But when my parents said, hey, it's time to go to college, I'm busily thumbing through the college catalog looking for anything related to music. And fortunately, classical guitar was listed. And I said, that's it. I don't even know what classical guitar is, but that's it. You know, well, I found out what classical guitar was, and I grew to love it, and I just studied and practiced feverishly for many, many years. I studied with many of the great classical guitarists, Andres Segovia and Manuel Lopez Ramos and Christopher Parkening and Julian Bream. I studied with a lot of them and used to travel around when I was younger to take their classes. And then I did teach at the University of Illinois for about 7 or 8 years. But when I realized that teachers don't get paid all that much and my family's coming along, I really had to start looking around for something else. But my love was always with music. So I did a few things, and then finally the internet came along, and I got into that. But I had to stop the music, for many, many years during that period. Well, what was really nice and has been the most rewarding thing that's happened to me in a long time is that computers finally reached a point where they can create music every bit as good as an orchestra or a band. In fact, a lot of people don't realize it, but when you watch television or you go to a movie and you hear that wonderful soundtrack, the likelihood that it's really an orchestra is very remote. In most cases, it's being done through computer software. And the way they do it is fascinating. They actually take every single sound that an instrument can make, from the tones to the vibratos to the crescendos to even some of the knocks and scratches that you have sometimes with certain instruments, in particular guitar. And they record every little piece as a little bite of sound. And then the computer software allows you as a soundtrack composer to put all of these pieces back together so that what you're listening to is really the actual instruments being played by a human being. It's just that you're putting them back together through computer software. You know, a lot of people think that it's like some kind of an electronic kind of a sound that's coming out. It's not. These are really notes being played by human beings, but they're just little bits and pieces, and you put it all together. Well, that blew my mind that you could do that, and I got all the software and the equipment and all of that and started exploring that. And what I decided to do is to write a tribute to the movie, The Secret. And so I wrote 4 movements. I called the CD Bliss. And these are not pieces that were in the movie. The movie had already been made and already had a soundtrack by the time I even came on board. But I decided that I'd write a tribute to the movie. And I thought it would also be a nice way to market the movie, because sometimes people may stumble upon the music and then say, well, that's interesting music, and I'd like to see the movie. And so that's the reason I did it. So it's available on Amazon.com. I really didn't come on the call to promote that, but I have a site called Dan Man Do, and that's DanManDo. And if you go there, it links over to the music. But, it's amazing as you listen to it to think that it was indeed put together by computer. It even has choir in it.
Wow.
It's really interesting. So I like all kinds of music. I like world music. I like jazz. I was trained in classical music. It just so happens that the music on the Bliss album is kind of soundtrack classical oriented. And it actually has an overtone of African music. And the reason is because I had asked, I said, what really inspired you as you were working and making on the movie? And I was told that that the music to The Lion King had been the music that they listened to a lot as they were putting together the actual movie. And I said, wow, you know. So I actually, and if you remember, The Lion King had a lot of African themes and mm-hmm. overtones to it. And so I actually incorporated within this piece a lot of African instruments, and so it's got a little bit of an African backdrop to it. So that's why that's there.
Ah, and if people go to this Dan Mandu, Danmando, I see there's some links that they could click to get a little taste of the three different movements.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Great.
So I do that. Hey, listen, I do that just out of the love of my heart. I'm very humble about it, and it's just a hobby. It's not something that I do as a profession, so to speak. It's just pure love.
Well, and one of the things to me is you're sharing about here's this technology, here's computer, here's internet, and you're basically making mention that without a huge amount of resources, we can express creativity in amazing variety of ways.
Absolutely, and again, you can do it with one finger.
Yeah.
None of this stuff is that hard. You know, I have to say this, you know, if you really want to know the secret to doing internet marketing, and really I think it's the secret to a lot of things, I think this is what it is. People often ask, how did you learn all this stuff? And I've already told you that I do read books, but there's something else that I think is even more important. Whenever you're about to do something, like I told you earlier that maybe you should go and set up a blog, here's the secret to being able to do it well and get some results from it. Once you open the account, I'll use the blog as an example. Once you open your blog account, you're going to go into a kind of a dashboard or an admin area. And I actually call this my dashboard theory. If you remember, when you buy an automobile, usually when you get it, you sit in the car behind the steering wheel, and what's a smart thing to do before you just go tearing off down the highway is to sit there for a moment and familiarize yourself with the dashboard. You know, here's the windshield wiper, you know, you know, here's the radio, and here's how I would, you know, put a CD in if I wanted to, and just get familiar with the settings and maybe click a few of the buttons and adjust the rearview mirror. And that's what you should do. But when people get into these web systems, it seems like they don't do that. It's like they go in and they try to click as few links as possible, and they just kind of freak. Well, here's what I do, and it's what I think is the secret to learning this stuff. You go in, you log in, and the first thing you look for is the help button. Nobody clicks that, I think, to me. But you click the help button, or if it says tutorials, or if it says FAQ, which is frequently asked questions, you know, I click those things, and I go over, and I'll often print it out, and I'll read it. And guess what? I learn all the secrets to the system. It's that simple, you know, and I think if people would do that. The other thing that I do is I will click every link that I see within my dashboard or my admin area, and just to see what's behind the link. You know, I may not even understand what I'm looking at the moment, or I may say, that's I'm gonna have to come back and look at that later when I have more time. But I just click it all just so I'm kind of familiar with what's all within this system. And I believe that if you do that, in other words, just plan before you do anything, whether it's a blog or set up a site or go and do a Google AdWords program or whatever it is, go in and just say, look, you know, I'm going to spend 30 minutes or maybe an hour, and I'm just going to read some of the FAQs, look at some of the, a lot of these systems now have little training videos that you can watch. I'll watch a couple of the videos, but I'm going to click all the links and all of that. That is the cheapest and generally the best way to learn these systems that that I could recommend to anyone. So I call that my dashboard theory, and I think it's a great idea. There was a really interesting story, Ken, is I've only been in one automobile wreck in my life, and I was driving down the street one day, and a lady tried to pass me as I was turning a corner and plowed into me. And, I mean, she was going really, really fast. And luckily, neither of us were hurt, but it was a total my car and her car. Later, I got to talk to her, and I said, what caused this? And she said, well, I just got the car, and I was trying to adjust the radio. And I'm going, she didn't use the dashboard theory. She should have already figured out her radio when she was sitting in her driveway, not when she's going 55 miles an hour down the road and trying to pass at the same time she's doing her radio. So anyway, that's what I recommend if you guys want to get really good at doing this internet stuff.
Ah, okay. So there's that's huge. And I like the, I was just playing in my mind that old Beatles song, Help.
Yeah, that's true.
And there it is. Click on that, and the FAQs, and then you get to basically learn this stuff. And I'm just thinking, okay, wow, this can save a huge amount just to be able to help someone to be competitive with companies that might have 50, 100, 1,000 times their resources.
Exactly. And also what it'll keep you from doing, I'm not against seminars and webinars and a lot of the things that are out there. I think many are quite wonderful. But it's like often you end up spending $100 or $1,000 or $5,000 for the same stuff that you probably could have got under the help button.
Yeah. Wow. So hello, there's our wake-up call for the day. And this is coming, my dear listeners, from the man that is basically like the top internet marketing strategist out there. So instead of spending whatever it can be, I mean, I hear people spending $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 to go to some internet marketing seminar.
Absolutely.
And they're probably giving them tips similar to what we're getting today.
That is absolutely true. But here is a little bit of psychology. There is something in our minds that tells us that if we go and spend a lot of money for something, it must be worth more, and sometimes that makes us actually do it.
Ah.
All right, so we have a tendency to think, well, if it's just free and it's under the help button, it's probably not the real secret that's going to, you know, cause my thing to be very successful. So there's a certain, you know, psychology we have to kind of, you know, trick our minds a little bit. And I think maybe if they charged $1,000 to click the help button, then people would do what's under the help button and everything would be good.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, it calls to mind, are you offering out to organizations and different individuals your consulting services?
You know, actually, at the moment, I'm not. What I've been doing, I actually don't have any training programs that I sell. I don't have any webinars or seminars that I teach. So, in one way, that's good because I'm just sharing information with you here today, just because I like to share and help people. But I am working on my next big thing, and what I've really been exploring a lot, and I think is going to be as big, if not bigger, than the internet, is mobile marketing. And the neat thing about that, I've been really just living within the mobile market area for the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. What's really interesting is this. There are, in the last 30 years, there are about 850 million computers in the world. There's also about 850 million computers. There's also about 800 million automobiles in the world. And you go on down the list, but here's what it is. If you were to look at landline phones, TV sets, credit cards, automobiles, PCs, whatever. The reality is there are more mobile phones in the world than any of these things. There are 2.7 billion mobile phones out there. And what that tells you is that that is the communication tool that most people prefer. And they never turn them off. They always have them with them. And with new things coming out like the iPhone, and there's some other products that are going to be very similar to that, the Internet is now basically with us all the time. And not only the Internet, but we have SMS text messaging, and we have mobile websites and all of that. And so I'm investing a lot of time in that area, and it could be that in the future I may put together a training program where I touch upon some of that. But I think that what we're going to see as we move forward is bridging a lot of these things together, the Internet, the offline, and mobile, in ways that just better connect the world, better connect the ability for you and I to get a message out, be it a cause or be it a product or service, whatever it is we want to get out. And I really believe that mobile marketing will be a major, major player there. So that's what I've been working on a lot.
Ah, okay. Huh. And I haven't been keeping up on it, but is it pretty much standard that, or will it shortly be standard, you know, that people getting a mobile phone will have that Internet access?
You know, it's amazing that Internet access is, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's already a significant level. But the neat thing when it comes to the mobile is that it doesn't have to be Internet access in order for the communication to occur, because there's text messaging. And text messaging is like, I don't know if you've ever gotten a text message before, but it's like 100% readership. Most people remember text messages, and actually, just, you know how you go to a website and you can opt into someone's newsletter or something like that? The same's true with text messaging. People can opt into your SMS text message, and you can share messages with them that way, and avoid all the clutter of email and all the spam that's in email and things like that. So phones aren't standardized, and certain phones certainly have better Internet than others. The iPhone, it doesn't get much better than that. You basically can surf the web, you know, with that type of device, you know, very, very easily. And I think you're going to see more and more devices that allow you to do that. So I think that's where we're headed. And there's some incredible technologies and things that are coming down the pike. The only thing you got to be careful of is this. Many people that have a website, they think that, well, you know, the iPhone can display my website pretty well. But what you've got to think about when you talk about mobile marketing and mobile visitors is that they're usually in a different environment, and their situation dictates why they have arrived at your website, and they only want certain things. So you can't just take your regular website and shrink it down smaller and expect it to serve the purposes of a mobile user. You have to kind of think through, why would a person come to my site on a mobile phone? I need to give to that person just the very things that they would want in their mobile environment. You know, I started noticing, you know, when do I, you know, go to a website, you know, on my mobile phone? You know, sometimes to get the phone number for a restaurant that I might be going to, or you know, if I have a flat tire, I may be, you know, digging around for the, you know, for a local place, you know, to come and help me, you know, fix it or something like that. Usually it's a situational thing that causes you to use your mobile phone to access the web. And so as a marketer, you need to position your services and your products or the causes you're involved in so that you can present them, you know, to a person, with that, you know, thought in mind. And all the stuff that you have online is coming to the mobile phone. I mean, Google AdWords, they already have that on a mobile phone. PayPal has a text to buy where you can, if you see something you want to buy, you just, you know, type in a little, you know, code and click a button, and you can buy it right over your cell phone. And it all sounds kind of like, way out and futuristic, and I didn't even have a cell phone until like about, you know, 8 months ago when the iPhone came out. I never had one before.
My goodness, Dan, you've whet our appetite amazingly, and we've blazed through our time here. I'm just looking forward to you coming on again as more of this mobile marketing opens up. And in the meantime, I want to encourage people to go to danhollings.com/secret to download that free information book that you have. And just thank you, Dan, for taking time from your schedule to share so much value with us today.
Well, thank you, Ken, and it has been my pleasure.
Well, wishing you, Dan, and all my listeners a wonderful week, and God bless to everyone out there. Look forward to talking with you again on next Saturday for more Advanced Living Fun. Until then, God bless and goodbye for now. Let's go.